This parak has been discussing the laws of a firstborn animal and when it develops a wound, which would mean that instead of the kohen bringing it as a korban, he would be able to eat it himself. As a regular animal, which you can just slaughter and eat instead of bringing as a korban and then eating only part of the meat with the restrictions of a korban. And then the Mishnah started talking about somebody who is suspected, a kohen, who is suspected of intentionally giving his firstborn animal a wound in order that he won't need to bring it up as a korban. And after that, the Mishnah went slightly sidetracked to discuss people who are suspected of violating other laws and what ramifications that has. And this Mishnah talks about Hechoshud Liyos Moicher Truma L'Shem Chulin, one who is suspected of selling Truma produce, which is a portion of one's produce which is given to a kohen, and it has a special sanctity to it. For example, it's forbidden to make it tomei, impure, and only kohenim are able to eat it. And this person is suspected of selling truma under the name of chulin. Chulin refers to non-sanctified produce, and this person pretends that the truma which he has and is selling to other people is actually not sanctified at all, such that the buyer perhaps is not a kohen. And either way, he won't treat it with the necessary sanctity of truma. Now, the reason why somebody might pretend that it's chulin instead of truma is because chulin was worth more. He would get a better price for it since more people are able to eat it. So there's a higher demand for such produce, and therefore the price is higher. Be as it may, somebody who is suspected of doing this, it's forbidden to buy from him any food items, even water or salt. This is a sort of penalty, midrabanan, to punish this person and to put people off from doing such a thing. And therefore, even food items which are not obligated and it's not relevant to make them into truma, even such food items, it is forbidden to buy from them. The Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol sheyesh bezikas truma maisras, only a food item which has some connection to trumas and maisras, a noich memeno, it is forbidden to buy from him. The Chachomim only made their penalty on food items which are similar to those food items about which he is suspected. Now, it should be noted that Rabbi Shimon is not only talking about Truma, which the Mishnah until now was talking about, but he also adds the word Maisras, which is in the plural, it refers to tithes. The truth is, he's only really referring to one type of tithe, and that is the Maisras Sheni, a tenth of one's produce which he needs to separate and bring up to Yerushalayim. And this also cannot be made tomei, it can't be made impure, and it has restrictions. For example, it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So if somebody sells Maisras Sheni and pretends that it's regular food, such that the buyer might end up making it impure, or he'll eat it outside of Yerushalayim, once again, we penalize such a person who is pretending that it is regular produce. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, the penalty once again only applies to that type of produce for which the tithes apply. Mishnah Yud, Choshla Lashavias, one who is suspected of violating the laws of Shemitah, such a person was discussed in Mishnah Ches, Eino Choshla Lamaisras, he is not automatically suspected of also violating the laws of tithes. He's not suspected of not tithing or of selling his produce and pretending that it has been tithed, because there are certain respects in which the laws of Maisras, in particular Maisras Sheni, that tithe which are more stringent than the laws of Shemitah, and therefore, more importantly, in the eyes of certain people, the laws of Maisras Sheni and other tithes are considered to be on a more stringent level, and therefore they'd be prepared to make people violate the laws of Shemitah, or for themselves to violate the laws of Shemitah, but that doesn't mean that they are prepared to violate laws which in their own eyes are more stringent. And therefore, although one is not able to buy any Shemitah produce from them, he would be able to buy food items during other years, because this penalty which was discussed in the previous Mishnah would not apply. Choshla Maisras, one who is suspected regarding tithes, like Maisras Sheni, and selling Maisras Sheni pretending that it's regular food, he is not automatically suspected of violating the laws of Shemitah, and therefore the ramifications of one who is suspected about Shemitah, which were mentioned in Mishnah Ches, would not apply, because it works the other way around as well. There are certain aspects of the laws of Shemitah which are considered to be more stringent than Maisras Sheni, and as such, there are certain people who would be prepared to violate the laws of Maisras Sheni, but not the laws of Shemitah. Hechoshud al zeh v'al zeh, one who is suspected both about Shemitah and about Maisras Sheni, which are both laws midoraisa, choshod al tahorais, he is suspected automatically about laws of purity which are midrabbanon, and we are going to understand that the Mishnah is referring specifically to the practice of those who did observe the laws of purity and impurity properly, not to allow any food to become impure. Although, strictly speaking, regular chulin, non-sanctified produce can become impure, and it's permitted to eat such produce, it became the practice of those who observed the laws of purity properly to make sure that even their regular chulin, non-sanctified produce would not become impure. Now, this is a stringency. It's only midrabbanon. There's no requirement like this midoraisa, and therefore somebody who is suspected about these more stringent laws of Mais Sheni and Shemitah, he's certainly all the more so suspected about the other less stringent laws, which are only considered a stringency midrabbanon. The Mishnah adds, however, v'yeshu choshlat tahorais, there is a case where somebody would be suspected of not observing the laws of purity. And here the Mishnah is referring to laws which are midoraisa, for example, not allowing truma, which is the produce given to koyanim, to become impure. That is something which is midoraisa, so if somebody is suspected about that, ve'enu choshud loy al-ze, that does not automatically make him suspected about the laws of Shemitah or Maaseh Sheni, because once again, there are stringencies in all of these laws, and there would be certain people who would be prepared to be lenient in the laws of impurity, but they would not be prepared to violate any of the laws of Shemitah or Maaseh Sheni, and therefore there would be no automatic suspicion regarding those other laws. Zeh haklal, this is the rule, says the Mishnah. What does it mean if somebody is suspected about something? What other additional ramification is there? Kol hachoshel al dovar, anybody who is suspected regarding any particular matter, loydonoi, he's not fitting to judge a case which involves such a law. And likewise, v'lemeidoi, he is also not considered to be a valid witness to testify regarding something which involves that particular area of law. This Mishnah at least is of the opinion that if somebody is prepared to violate certain sins, he would do so even if he does not gain from it. And therefore, these three ramifications would apply. Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. As we have mentioned a couple of times already in this Masechta, there are two different types of Hekdash, something which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash. One is Kedushas Domim, where only the value, so to speak, becomes sanctified, and that refers to anything which itself is not going to be used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it needs to be redeemed, and the money will be used for something which is going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. The other type of Hekdash is Kedushas HaGuf, which is something which is going to be used in the service itself, for example, a korban, and that is something which becomes intrinsically sanctified, and it cannot be redeemed. However, once that korban develops a wound which invalidates it from being bought as a korban, then it can be redeemed. And it needs to be redeemed, and the money which is gained from that sale will be used to buy a replacement korban. That having been said, there still exists a certain remnant of the intrinsic sanctity and holiness which this animal had, even once it becomes invalid as a korban. And therefore, even when one does come to sell it, one can't sell it in a degrading fashion. However, the Mishnah tells us, Kol psul ha-mikdoshim, any korban which became invalid and needs to be sold, nimkorim bo-itliz, can be sold in the regular meat market, v'nishchotim bo-itliz, and can be slaughtered in the regular meat market, just like one would sell a regular animal. And the reason for this is because since there is a need to sell the animal, this korban, it's now invalid and it has to be sold in order to gain a different korban as a replacement. So since anyway it needs to be sold, the Rabbanon instituted that we might as well try and get a better price. And if one sells it in the market, there are more people around there, they will bid for higher prices, and that way the owner of this korban will receive more money, which will all be spent on a new replacement korban, which will be worth more. So were it not for this fact, then it would be considered to be quite degrading for this animal which still has sanctity to it. However, because a greater price will be got, and therefore a replacement korban of higher quality will be brought, and it is therefore permitted. Now the truth is, the Gemara notes that a korban which has become invalidated needs to be redeemed before it is slaughtered. Once the korban has been slaughtered, it can never be redeemed again. Now the next line of the Mishnah says, V'nishkolim belitra, the pieces of meat of this korban which has become invalidated can be weighed opposite a litra, that's a certain weight, on the scales in the regular way that meat is sold. Now, if we're talking about selling the meat, That's obviously why they are weighing it as part of the sale. Then this poses a difficulty, because that must mean that this carbon has already been slaughtered. But if it's already been slaughtered, then it can no longer be redeemed and sold in order to get a replacement carbon. And so the Gemara says that we are forced to explain that we're discussing the buyer, the one who bought the alive disqualified carbon. Once he buys it and then he slaughters it, he is allowed to sell that meat on in a regular way that meat is sold. Now, once the buyers in the market know that if they buy this invalidated carbon, they will be able to slaughter it and then sell it in a regular way, they will be more willing to bid a higher price. If they are bound by more restrictions regarding this animal, so they'll be willing to pay less for the alive carbon. And therefore, by allowing the buyer to slaughter this animal and then sell it in a regular way, we are also causing people to spend more money on redeeming the original invalidated animal, and therefore the owner of that animal, that invalidated carbon, would end up getting more money, and the replacement carbon would be worth more. Continues the Mishnah, Chutz v'abachor min ha'maaser, except for a firstborn animal which develops a wound and therefore cannot be bought as a carbon, min ha'maaser, as well as maaser behema, a tenth of one's animals which needs to separate and bring as a carbon. Because the law regarding both of these animals is that once they develop a wound, they do not need to be bought as a carbon, and they don't even need to be redeemed and replaced with a different animal. Rather, the owner himself is allowed to eat it like regular meat. Which means that the owner does not need to sell this. So if the owner does decide to sell it, then he has to treat it with all of the stringencies which might apply to animals which have sanctity to them. He's not able to sell it in the marketplace, which is, technically speaking, degrading. Just that regarding an invalidated carbon, since it needs to be sold, the Rabbana instituted that we want to get a higher price. But these animals which don't need to be sold, just that the owner decides to sell them, he needs to treat them with more respect. And therefore, he can only sell the animal at his own home, not in the market. And he cannot use regular weights, which are used in the regular sale of unsanctified meat. The reason being that Shanios and Labailim, because their benefit is for the owner, meaning the owner doesn't need to sell it. Whereas Psalian Kdoshim, invalidated Karbonus and Anios and Lahekdush, their benefit goes towards Hekdush, meaning it needs to be redeemed in order to get money to spend on a replacement carbon, as we explained. Now, although one cannot use a regular litra weight on the regular scales, for Shoklin Monok Negin Mono Babachar, one is allowed to weigh a portion of non-sanctified meat opposite a portion of meat of a firstborn animal or of a Maaser Behema, the tithe of the animals, because this is clearly showing a difference to the regular way in which meat is weighed, and it's therefore not considered to be degrading and disrespectful towards this sanctified meat. Mishnah Beis, a firstborn animal which does not have a wound and is bought as a carbon can only be eaten by a kohen. Interestingly, this is the only type of carbon which is, there are really two types of carbonis, kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim. Carbonis which have a high level of sanctity and a lower level. A bechor has a lower level of sanctity, and every other type of carbon which has a lower level of sanctity can be eaten by anybody. The bechor, however, is the only animal which has a lower level of sanctity. It's included in the category of kodshim kalim, but may only be eaten by the kohen and his family, and his slave as well. Be as it may, this Mishnah talks about a firstborn animal which does have a wound, and therefore the kohen can slaughter it as a regular animal. And b'shamayim and b'shamayim say lo yimoni yisraelim a kohen ala bechor a yisrael. A non-kohen is not allowed to be invited to take part in the meat of a firstborn animal which has a wound. Whereas on the other hand, Bissel, Matir and Bissel say this is permitted, v'afilu nochri, even to give it over to a non-Jew to eat it. And this also includes being able to sell the meat to a non-Jew or to a non-kohen. And Bisham and Bissel learn their opinions from different psukim. Continues the Mishnah, b'chol she'achoz dam, a firstborn animal which had a disease that it became full of blood, and at least in one part of its body it had an excessive amount of blood. And one way to heal the animal is by letting its blood. The Mishnah says, Afilu hu meis, even if the firstborn animal is going to die as a result of this disease, Ein makizin leidom, it is forbidden to make a cut in the animal in order to let out blood. the Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because he is concerned that he might come to give a permanent wound to the animal, even though it's possible to do it without giving it a permanent wound, which would invalidate it from being brought as a korban. It might come to that stage, and therefore it's forbidden. However, v'chachom erim l'chachom say yakiz, he is allowed to make a cut in the animal in order to let out some blood, as long as he does not intentionally make it into a permanent wound. The Chachom are concerned that if we forbid him to do this, then due to the great loss of money, if the animal will die, then the person might come to do it anyway in a way which will give the animal a wound. So therefore we permit him to do something smaller, we permit him to do it in a way that will not give it a wound, in order to avoid a possibly bigger problem of him not even trying to avoid giving it a wound. Now, if he did give it a wound by doing this process, he is not allowed to slaughter the animal based on this wound, since the wound came about because of his own actions, and therefore he needs to wait until a different wound is developed before slaughtering the animal. And Rabbi Shimon says, yakiz, it is fully permitted to make a cut in the animal for blood to come out, and one doesn't even need to try and make sure to avoid giving it a proper wound. Even though it's very possible for him to end up giving it a wound, since this is not his intention, this is known as a dovar she'eino miskaven, something which could result in something which is technically forbidden, but as long as it is not his intention and it's not inevitably going to happen, it is permitted according to Rabbi Shimon.